Welcome to Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle, coming up on the program this week.
But in the past, suicide was one of those things where it's like, you just don't talk about it because it's so massive and the person must have gone through so much to actually take their own life. It's like, we don't talk about that at all. I feel as though we need to talk about it now.
You know, this idea that suicide is an end point, but actually more and more the evidence shows that it's about suicide. It simply passes on the pain to other people.
Yeah. It doesn't just stop just then. So I feel as though now I want to be the voice of, you know, in particular, young men, and just an advocator for young men talking about mental health, because I feel as though it's something that not a lot of young men feel comfortable talking about.
And I'll be reminding you how you can make connections with mental health organisations within your community. It's Mental Health Monday.
Hey, one and all, hope you're doing well. We're the home of the UK's conversation about mental health. It's Mental Health Monday. My name's Mick Coyle. Been a busy old time of it of late. No podcast last week as we came out of the Easter bank holiday weekend. I was away as well. I had a week or so away from a holiday, which I was intending to take in April of 2020. But you know what happened. So we couldn't take it in 2020 or again in 2021 because we were in different tiers or something like that. But I was able to get down to Cornwall for April 2022. What a lovely part of the world it is. Miles away, takes ages to get there, but boy, does it feel different when you do. Had a really great week of weather too, which of course makes all the difference, and was with the entire family. So it was a really positive time. Didn't get the most sleep that was required, so I'm catching up with that. And also, big monumental day as well. If you're listening to this podcast on the day that it goes out, episode 247 of Mental Health Monday, you're actually listening on my 40th birthday, the day of my 40th birthday. 40 years old, life begins at 40, and all of those things. Yeah, where did that happen? To be honest, I'm absolutely fine about it. Quite looking forward to seeing a few friends, hopefully the weekend coming, and having a bit of a shindig and a celebration as much as anything. I remember when you were growing up, though, 40 was like the start of middle age. I think it's probably not the case that, though, now. I think maybe that's a little bit more towards 50, even 60. To be honest, I know more sprightly 60-year-olds than I do 40-year-olds. Ah, I'll be absolutely fine. On to this week's guest, though, and we welcome Tyler Cruikshank to Mental Health Monday. Tyler, you will know if you watch the TV show Love Island. He's a really positive advocate for positive mental health and has just signed up as an ambassador for the organisation SOS Silence of Suicide, a brilliant organisation set up by Michael and Yvette Mansfield. They do fantastic work, and I'll include a link to their website in the write-up to this particular podcast, and as I mentioned in the podcast as well. He signed up as an ambassador. It's an issue that he's aware of. The issue around suicide and Love Island has actually been a common theme over the years as a result of some high-profile deaths, unfortunately, from people who are linked to the show. But actually, it was a personal suicide that Tyler was aware of that really sort of started this part of his particular journey, and means that it's something that he's really, really keen to talk about.
Yeah, so essentially, Mick, I am a huge advocate for mental health. You know, long before Love Island, I was a huge advocate for it anyways. But I think sort of going on the show, I know, you know, the show has sort of been surrounded by a lot of mental health issues, I would say, you know, with various sort of people, you know, paying the ultimate price, et cetera, et cetera. It's sort of something that I wanted to really vocalize and be involved in. Now, I mean, my involvement sort of in mental health sort of stems a couple of years back, essentially, and especially sort of last year when one of my close friends actually committed suicide himself through mental health problems. And I felt as though I could have done a little bit more to actually help him through that. You know, he was always coming up to me and saying, you know, my mental health is this, my mental health is that. And I think it's quite difficult to actually sort of put yourself in those shoes and help someone out that is actually going through that. So, yeah, you know, the long and the short of that story was I felt really sort of bad and really down when that did actually happen, because I felt as though I could have done more. So I feel as though now I want to be the voice of, you know, in particular, young men. And just an advocator for young men talking about mental health, because I feel as though it's something that not a lot of young men feel comfortable talking about. So that is more or less why I wanted to get involved in the whole mental health thing. And this great opportunity has come about, essentially, with Michael Mansfield and SOS to become an ambassador for young men and young people in regards to mental health, and actually talking about it and more or less sort of overcoming it.
I think thanks for being so honest as well about, you know, that personal journey. I think it will really chime with a lot of people, many people we've spoken to on the podcast over the years, who talk about that feeling that comes after a suicide of someone close to you, the questions that you ask, the overanalysis, did I do enough? I should have done more.
Exactly,
you talked about, you know, how you sort of, but of course, you know, they were going through that thing and then, you know, it was kind of happening. And if as a society, I think we were better clued up on these issues, then we'd be better placed to it. But you can only ever deal with these things sort of at face value when you come to that point as well. But that's one of the things around suicide and why the organizations like Silence of Suicide are so important. Because actually when, you know, this idea that suicide is an end point, but actually more and more the evidence shows that it's about suicide. It simply passes on the pain to other people.
Yeah. It doesn't just stop just then. This is the thing. Yeah, I mean, you hit the nail on the head, Mick, when you said we're not really sort of equipped to deal with this sort of thing. You know, there isn't a manual for it. And it's such a huge thing, and it delves so deep into people's emotions and feelings. It's almost as though you're taken aback by it a little bit. It's like, you know, do I talk about this, or, you know, do I kind of mention mental health, and, you know, do I ask if they're okay? It's almost as though it's a big taboo. So and that's exactly how I felt when I was sort of, you know, going through my friend's situation. Do I kind of invite him out? Do I go around there? Do I message? Do you know what I mean? So it was quite difficult for me to actually deal with that, or help him deal with that as well. As I said, you hit the nail on the head in terms of that, Mick.
And in terms of, you know, the way forward as well, unfortunately, we're at a number of suicides, and talking about men. Young men, older men dying by suicide, the numbers are high, you know, numbers around sort of young new mums, or mums around that sort of like period of giving birth, those numbers are really high as well. And it's a really shocking.
Exactly.
So we actually have these two things, don't we, where we have the conversation that we're not having correctly before it happens with the people who it's happening to, but
exactly.
also the silence around what happens afterwards, where no one's quite sure what to say.
Yeah.
Or how to think. So
exactly.
it's like we've got this huge issue, this pandemic of suicide, which is taking place across the country. And yet on either side of it, we've not necessarily got a plan, have we, to deal with it? And it feels wrong, but we've got to have that plan. I mean, we've got to know. So if it does happen to you, what do you do? Who can you turn to? Because, you know, and it's always the thing, you know, if you break your leg, you call 999. But if a close friend dies by suicide, who do you speak to?
What do you do? Exactly that. And I think one of the main reasons I wanted to get involved in this, Mick, is because I have such a good support system around me. So I remember, you know, going back 2 years ago, essentially, when we was going through, you know, the height of COVID, right? And we was in lockdown after lockdown, and you couldn't do anything, and there was restrictions up to your eyeballs. I wouldn't say I was going through a depressive phase, but I was going through, you know, some relationship problems with one of my previous girlfriends. And I remember, you know, quite vividly, my mum and dad literally dragging me out of that hole that I was in, and my best friend as well. So I was very lucky in a sense that I had those people around me to actually lean on and act as, you know, basically like a soundboard and actually speak to, whereas a lot of people don't actually have that. So I think SOS is a really good, you know, it's a really good charity, really good platform for people to actually, you know, basically just go. And as you said, you know, when you break your leg, you call 999. If something happens, it doesn't have to be after the fact. It could be before. You know, there could be someone a friend that's going through something, or you think that they're going through something. Just get on the phone to SOS. You know, there's always someone there manning the phones between certain times, and you can actually sit down and talk to them about that. And, you know, we can give you advice as to what the next step should be. You know, as a disclaimer, you know, by all means, we're not professionals, you know, we're not like therapists or anything like that. But because we've actually been through it firsthand, we can give our take on it, essentially, right? And it could end up helping. It's better than nothing. So, completely understand where you're coming from, Mick. Like, there isn't a set sort of, blueprint or template for people that could just, you know, pick up the phone and call like 999 or 111 or whatever it is in regards to mental health. And I feel as though there should be.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's interesting as well, you know, the idea of that support network, that peer support network as well, where even if it's not, you know, that someone with a doctor in front of their name, although I'm sure there'll be many people associated with the organization whose expertise they draw on, it's about people who've had that experience, and the phrase lived experience, because it's, you know, it's about people's existence and what gone through. I think it's a really good example of how that can move forward. I'll mention the website, by the way, at the end of the podcast, so people can find out more about SOS and the team. Seriously. There, you mentioned as well that you know, we almost feel lucky, don't we, if we've got that sort of support network around us, you know, family and friends and so on and so forth. But I also think as well that some people who don't have that, or they live away from family and friends, or they're off to university or stuff like that, they still need to know, what does that support network look like? If it isn't going to be mum and daddy, we're going to, you know, drag you out of the house and say, right, you're coming home for a week or two. What's that going to be? And again, people will go, well, who am I supposed to turn to? And they, you know, they might have heard about the Samaritans, or they may have heard about you know, a signposting service, but again, that's got to be front and center, hasn't it? So you know what to do, and that conversation's there. And I guess this is why, you know, you can play such a crucial role, because we can normalize it, can't we, by simply talking about it, by tweeting about it and posting about it, and just introducing it into our everyday sort of conversation.
Yeah, no, 100%. I feel as though, because it's such a big topic, a lot of people are afraid to actually voice their opinions on it, right? You know, I basically, going back to sort of 2 years ago in COVID, I felt the same. You know, you wouldn't go to just any of your friends with a problem that big in terms of mental health. You know, you'd have to pick and choose, because certain friends may not understand. Certain friends may take it as like a joke, especially with men as well. You know, I have certain friends that if I turn to, they will say, Tyler, man up, come on, you know? So, and that's fair enough. You know, that's their sort of opinion on it, or whatever it is. But no, definitely, I feel as though there should be more out there that helps, especially the younger people, as you said, the people that are away at uni, you know, studying and haven't seen their family for a long time, and they feel as though maybe they can't really talk to their family about that sort of thing. You know, they need someone to turn to, 100%. And especially in this day and age, where we're still more or less recovering from COVID. I mean, I just wanted to quickly briefly touch on one of my friends that actually lives out in Hong Kong teaching English. And she hasn't seen her mum and her dad in about two, three years because of the restrictions going on. You know, COVID still is apparent. And especially in a country like that, you know, where restrictions are quite high and they're focused on this zero COVID policy and et cetera, as opposed to us who are just living with COVID. You know, she is basically bearing the brunt of that, and she can't see her family and hasn't seen her family in 2 years. So I'm always checking up on her, making sure she's all right. But essentially, you know, things aren't as good as they can be.
I think it's huge, though, isn't it? And I think when people, like, you know, people presume, you only need to look at the stats to tell you otherwise, but people presume like COVID is over. I think as well, like, there'd be some people, and I know people like who, like for me, COVID, I was okay because I had like close family nearby and work was okay and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. But I still have this thing where I can't remember the difference between 2020 and 2021. Like, I can't, were they the same year? Yeah. Like, I feel like there's this like hole like that just sort of exists where, like, was last year 2019? Because it's now 2022.
Yeah,
like,
exactly
and
that.
And I think that processing, I think that sort of stuff, particularly around the pandemic, will take a lot of time. And there might be people, your friend, for example, who thinks, well, I can cope because I can Zoom call. But there comes a point, doesn't there, where you have to go, I need a hug from me, mum. You know, I need to have a conversation. And I wonder whether or not that might be one of the hangovers from a mental health point of view, from the pandemic, that people will want to, or people will suddenly realize, hang on a minute, I feel like this almost like sense of grief or loss for this time that we either lost with someone, or that we just didn't have, or the plans that we made, or the plans that we cancelled and we couldn't remake. Or, you know, if you're at uni and you've lost those last, you know, 2 years of friendships and all that, it's all just kind of gone. And it's not really coming back unless you really work hard at it. I think we're sort of a couple of years away from really understanding
I think
what the impact of that might be.
I think so. I mean, we're still, you know, we're going through the effects of the aftermath of COVID, you know. It is gotten a little better in certain countries, as opposed, you know, in regards to sort of traveling and things like that and seeing people, but it's still very much apparent, as I sort of mentioned before, you know, with my friend. And you can only just be sympathetic, you know. The situation is still quite dire, and that is what the reason why I check up on her so sort of frequently anyways. But yeah, Mick, you're totally right. And I think, you know, with this whole COVID thing that has happened, it's made, I think it's heightened everyone's, what's the word I'm looking for? But it's heightened everyone's mental health, you know, whether it be sort of positively or negatively, it has sort of affected everyone's mental health. Even when I was going through what I was going through 2 years ago in that relationship, I feel as though it would have gone a lot more smoother if I was out seeing friends, going to places, et cetera, et cetera. But we was in the middle of lockdown. We couldn't do anything. And I honestly had my mum and dad to fall back on, and a lot of people don't. So, yeah.
Let's talk about sort of the conversation and the fact that you're able to maybe open up a conversation to a younger audience. I sometimes go into like colleges and schools and I talk about mental health, and sometimes they're just like, yeah, we get it. Like I go into like older organizations and they're like, oh, that's really, I never thought of it like that. Which sometimes you get like the 15, 16 year olds. They're like, why did you say there was a stigma around mental health? And I was like, I grew up in a world where you didn't talk about mental health, and they go, well, you've just said there's a stigma. Now people might think there's a stigma. And I'm going, oh wow, like this is huge. This is brilliant that those conversations are taking place. Even though I was obviously doing a little bit of damage, and I was being genuine though in my comments. But I think I'm sort of heartened by the way the conversation is moving. And actually, you know, you touch on Love Island and you know the tragic circumstances around those situations that you touched on right at the start. Really, really awful. But actually, it has forced the conversation, hasn't it? It has forced people to talk about kindness and looking out for each other and the fact that it does happen. And it happens to people that you know. It happens to people on the TV. It happens to the singers and songwriters that you love. It happens to all kinds of people. I think in the past, it was always a bit, it was a suicide thing, like, let's not talk about it. Which now you think, if this is happening to people like you and me, we've absolutely got to talk about it, to explore it. Because otherwise, there's no benefit to anyone. And it happens again in the future. And we think, oh, well, it'll just happen again, you know, for the rest of time. We've got to tackle that. And young people are really good at that.
Yeah, no, 100%, Mick. I think, obviously, coming off the show, it does force the question. It really does force the question. Love Island's demographic is clearly, you know, younger people, you know, let's be honest. So when that sort of thing is happening and the younger people are seeing it, you know, it's almost sort of innate that it's going to have an effect on them. You know, they are going to speak about it in school. They're going to speak about it in college. They're going to speak about it to their friends, et cetera, et cetera. It is going to be something that is spoken about. So when you're going into the schools and colleges and you're talking about mental health and you're talking about, you know, people taking their lives, et cetera, et cetera, it's almost as though like it's not a taboo anymore. It's not like, you know, it's not one of those words that you kind of shy away from, because people already are involved in it, if that makes sense. So especially sort of coming out of the show and being sort of embroiled in, you know, the whole suicide thing and mental health, it is something that I really wanted to get involved in. You know, I remember sort of thinking back to actually, not, I don't want to get too deep into it, but thinking back to when, you know, Mike committed suicide, that was on Love Island before. And I used to watch the show before I actually went on. And, you know, I didn't know Mike at all. I just watched him on the TV, you know, thought he came across like a really nice guy. And I remember my friend actually sent it to me and I was taken back by it. I was like, oh my God, like what is going on? You know, good looking guy, had everything going for him, but you just don't know what people are going through, you know? And especially coming off the show, people think it's all glitz and glam and et cetera, but there is obviously a darker side to it. And I just wanted to, you know, be that person that actually talks about mental health, because not a lot of people do, sort of coming off the show. And I wanted to be that sort of advocate for it.
I think that's a huge credit to you, because I think, you know, for my generation, the conversation that would have taken place after that would be, well, what's he done that for? What's she done that for?
Yeah,
she was young and good looking. He was young and good looking. He had everything going for him. He had a family who loved him.
Yeah.
Whereas actually the real conversation is there was a real mental health problem there that wasn't spotted, or that the help wasn't able to get to, or there wasn't the knowledge to get the help to the person that needed it. And I think that's the conversation we've absolutely got to own now, that if something does happen on a high profile TV show, that conversation has got to be, well, actually, yeah, I am aware of that. Did you see this thing Tyler put on Instagram about, you know, you have to own that conversation from a positive point of view. Otherwise, the conversation becomes here's another suicide of another famous, celebrity claiming everything's bad when they've, they've got on TV for a bit or whatever it is.
Exactly.
That real negative stuff. We've got to kibosh that and open up that conversation, which I'm sure we'll continue to do so as well. SOS Silence of Suicide, SOSSilenceOfSuicide.org is the website for that. And there's loads of different information on there as well. And I think that thing about putting it in the public eye and talking about it, like, I'm not saying all the time, but in general conversation, I think is important.
In general conversation.
I think sometimes we end up in a situation, and, you know, Caroline Flack was a good example of this, where quite rightly we were, when it happened, everyone's like, oh, like, it was so sad. And everyone
felt sad,
And then there was this big, big reaction around it. But then, of course, then something else knocks it off the front pages and it's not the big talking point.
Yeah.
And it falls away again. And it's so important, isn't it, that ongoing conversation, or when people go, oh, that actually really hit nerve with me, I need to be able to explore that, that those pathways then open up. And I guess organizations like this, various other, you know, the Shout Network is a good example as well. Samaritan's a good one as well. The Mix is a great charity for young people. The Calm Zone is a brilliant organization as well. Those platforms, they're there. They don't want to have to be there, but they will need to be there for the future. We've got to continue that conversation.
Yeah. I mean, just going back to your point on Caroline, it was a tragedy, essentially. But as you said, something will come along and knock it off the front pages, and it will only be around for a couple of weeks or whatever it is, and people will stop talking about it until maybe the following year when it's like the 1 year anniversary or whatever it is. And I feel as though the conversation, as you said, needs to be continuous. We're in a day and age now where it's talked about a lot more. You know, suicide is talked about a lot more. Suicide in younger people have talked about a hell of a lot more, essentially. So why are we not sort of making it on the tip of everyone's tongues? You know, it needs to be a conversation that everyone's having, essentially. It's kind of like, how do I describe it? In the past, I can only really speak for myself anyways, and you know, my family and my upbringing. But in the past, suicide was one of those things where it's like, you just don't talk about it because it's so massive. And the person must have gone through so much to actually take their own life, as, you know, they feel as though that's their only way out. It's like, we don't talk about that at all. But now I think it's shifted from years ago to now, where it's like, you know, it's happened time and time again. I feel as though we need to talk about it now, you know? And as you said, there's numerous charities out there. There's numerous platforms out there that people can access to actually speak about it. And I feel as though it just needs to be spoken about, because that's the only way we're going to draw attention to it. It's the only way that we're going to help people, is literally by speaking about it.
Great phrase that you used on the show, because we kept, and I've said it myself for a number of years doing that, about reach out. If you need support, reach out. And actually had a guy on the show called Phil, brilliant guest. And he said, it's not just about reaching out. We also need to reach in. You know, we need to be able to spot, you know, those circumstances where someone might be struggling. Yeah. And we don't just go, oh, well, if they speak to me, then I'll, you know, maybe I'll help them out. We actually, we go in, you know, that you always have to, aggressive kindness, if you like, I've noticed you're not being yourself recently. Anything you want to talk about? Let's go for a walk. Let's go for a run. Let's go for a hike up a mountain or whatever, just to get away from it, just to allow, you know, space for those conversations to take place. And I think there's so much goodwill around this. I know you guys have got the Murado Ball is coming up in June 2022. These sorts of events get everybody into a room. And I think details on the website for that one, by the way. When you get those people into a room together, you can see that there are solutions, there are answers, there are the people who can drive the change forward. And then it's about that sort of influence spreading out, and about people taking that positive step. And we've got to be positive and we've got to take positive steps forward. And I think what you're doing with this is a great example of it, where you're standing up and saying, yeah, I am going to talk about this. And when you respond to me on Instagram, you know, you're not going to be able to respond to everybody, but you're going to engage with that conversation.
Exactly. No, 100%. I think it's definitely a learning curve for a lot of us, if not all of us. Especially myself, sort of coming off the show, a lot of people around me have obviously watched the show previously and seen what's happened to the likes of Caroline, you know, Mike, Sophie, etc. And they were always asking me, Tyler, are you okay? Tyler, are you sure okay? Tyler, not being yourself. And sometimes, I mean, yes, it is nice that people do care. But then it obviously gets to a point where, you know, I was totally fine, but people were still asking me, Tyler, are you okay? Tyler, you're not yourself. And it got to the point where it was almost detrimental to me, if that makes sense. So I think it is very simple in a sense of you need to reach out and reach into people, but then you have to know who you're speaking to as well, because not everyone's the same, you know? Like my friend, for example, that, you know, that did commit suicide, you know, rest his soul. You know, he was a different person to myself, if that makes sense, you know? I think he probably needed, you know, someone like myself to say, you know, come on, let's go out and do this. Are you okay? Are you sure you're okay? And, you know, the continuous asking, whereas myself, I'm not like that at all. If you ask me once and check in every now and again, that would be fine for me, if that makes sense,
yeah.
You know? So I think everyone is obviously different, but it is obviously a learning curve. As I said before, there is no manual to it. And everyone is starting to speak about it now, you know? But the platforms that we do have out there will obviously sort of give everyone the tools to actually approach different people in different ways, because not everyone's the same, essentially. But as you sort of mentioned, touched on before, we do have the ball coming up in June. It's a great opportunity to get everyone together, as you said, in the same room to talk about, you know, this sort of thing. We also have an events that do raise money and awareness for mental health as well. So we're trying to do good things, Mick. We're trying to do good things.
Absolutely. SOSsilenceofsuicide.org is that there's a page on the website for SOSsilenceofsuicide.org as well. You mentioned as well, coming off a TV show, a lot made of, you know, the support networks that are around there as well. I think as well, there's a sense of understanding that we maybe need as members of the public, that we presume that because I still think because someone went on TV once, we presume that they're like millionaire, don't need to have a job anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
Like they see you in shopping in Aldi or Asda or whatever, and you go, oh, what, you're shopping here? I thought you'd be shopping in, you know, Harrods or something like that. And you think, I still think there's a sense of that. And you must have had this with Love Island, that people see you going, what are you doing here? Why aren't you still on a tropical paradise? So you go, I've still got to do my shopping. I've still got to like go and pick up stuff from the pharmacy or whatever. It's quite a strange thing that people go, aren't you a celebrity? Like, what are you doing here? Like, well, everyone needs to go and pick up something from Poundland from time to time.
So this is the thing. This is the thing, Mick. Like, and that ties in directly to, you know, mental health, essentially, right? Is direct correlation. Even though you've been on TV, right? And everyone class you as a superstar, celebrity, whatever it is, I am still human. Those people are still human. So, you know, all of the trolling and everything like that, you've got to remember they are still human, you know? It's happened to me before. You're completely right. I'm a down to earth person. So, you know, I'll still go out with the boys for drinks to the local spots that I usually go to anyways. You know, I'll still go and pick up a few bits from Sainsbury's and things like that. And people will see me and be like, hang on a minute, aren't you the guy off the TV? What are you doing here? And I'm like,
checking in your basket to see what you're buying.
Yeah, exactly, right? So it's almost as though they kind of forget that you are human. And it's fair enough. You know, if I was to see a celebrity, you know, before actually going on the show and seeing a celebrity, you know, walking about doing their shopping, I'd be thinking, what is he doing here? Surely he would have just got someone to go and get that for him or order it, no? So I do understand it. But it just goes back to my point. We are still human at the end of the day. So you need to treat everyone like they are still human. And treat everyone the same and with respect, you know?
Exactly. Jake Quickenden was on the program. He did X Factor, I'm a Celeb. And he said that he said he came off social media because like he tweets something like, oh, I'm doing this today, or I'm doing a panto, or like whatever he was doing. And people would like hammer him, going like, stop trying to stay relevant. Why are you trying to be relevant? And he was going, I'm trying to work. Like, I'm trying to live. Exactly, I've got to earn money and stuff like that. Because there was this presumption that we all had our little minute in the spotlight. And then as soon as it's not on you, the idea that you would step back into it or that you would do something that they'd recognize becomes this, because there's something else, or there might be somebody else. Yeah. I know you've got, you know, your law career, hopefully, you know, that's opening.
You're gonna
live your life. And this is, you know, for ourselves as well, we're always going to be the people who did the thing or who did that, in the same way we're always the people who went to that school or got those exam results or went to had that experience. But then for the future, we'll also be different people as well, you know, making sure that conversation is a positive conversation. Hey, what are you up to now? You know, is a really nice thing to say to people, whether they've been on TV or whether or not it's someone you just used to go to school with, because you don't have to be defined by things that happened in the past, nor should it ever define what you'll do in the future.
No, of course not. And the thing is, it's sad to hear, but, you know, especially for myself, I've experienced trolling. You know, I think, you know, I'd be surprised if someone went on TV and said they haven't experienced trolling. You know, it is always there. I just don't understand why people, you know, just see the need to be negative sometimes. Don't get me wrong, for the most part, it is positive. But you will see comments, like you said, Mick, you know, from time to time when people are saying, oh, you're trying to stay relevant, or you're this or you're that, and they'll make an assumption on your life, and it really couldn't be further from the truth. You know, but I think it just comes with the territory. You know, I've had this question a million times, and it comes with, oh, how do you deal with the trolling? How do you deal with the negative stuff, et cetera, et cetera? Essentially, you know, I knew what I signed up for going into Love Island. You know, you take the good with the bad, you take the rough with the smooth, essentially. So there was always going to be an element of trolling, but I think, you know, how you combat that is you just get a good support system around you, whether that be your friends, your family, whoever it is, and you stay focused on yourself, you stay grounded, and you just don't let it get to you. Don't get me wrong, it is easier said than done. And, you know, platforms like Instagram and I'm not too sure about Twitter, but Instagram, definitely, they are helping in regards to actually blocking out certain words and certain sort of negative comments and stuff. So I feel as though, you know, the social media giants are looking into it a little bit more. Don't get me wrong, could they do more? Yes, 100%. But it is certainly changing from years before. So, don't get me wrong, I think it will always be there. Negativity will definitely always be there. But it's just how you need to know what you're signing up for first and foremost, and it's how you deal with it afterwards, you know?
Absolutely.
And just touching on that point, actually, Mick, ITV are incredible in regards to looking after you. You know, their aftercare is, you know, second to none. Essentially, they have therapists on hand, psychologists on hand, you know, and it's all, you know, they all pay for it. Essentially, it's all free. And you have your sessions more or less every week or whenever you want to check in. So they really are good. I mean, it actually got to the point where I was like, you know, I was like, yeah, I mean, I'm fine sort of thing. And they were like, no, Tyler, but we need a session. And I was like, okay, cool. Can we reschedule it to like next week maybe? You know, like they're proper, like they're actually prim and proper. So ITV do help you. So if you haven't got anyone, which a lot of people don't, you know, ITV and you know, there's people out there that are willing to actually help you, and they're really good with stuff like that.
That's great. Well, absolutely perfect. That you know, better too much support than not enough. And actually, what you just said there about that support network, and you know, going into a situation brings us full circle, doesn't it, to that wider conversation around suicide or poor mental health, where it might be coming in the future. So it's about knowing what that network will look like, what those support lines will be, so that if it does come your way, you can turn to that, because bad stuff's going to happen to us all. You know, there's going to be grief, there's going to be you know highs and lows and so on and so forth, but it's about what that network looks like. And I think, you know, if we can do that at a much earlier stage, around, you know, when we're not feeling so great, then we don't have to have the conversation around suicide, because we're not getting to that point. And I think that's a really important point to take forward as well. Tyler, thank you so much for your time today. Really appreciate you speaking to us on the program. Let's just mention the Silence of Suicide as well. SOS silenceofsuicide.org is the website. Details on there as well for the Murado Ball taking place in June 2022. But it's easier to get into stuff like that, isn't it, when you've been on Love Island.
I knew that was coming.
No, Tyler, absolute pleasure. Really appreciate your time today, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Mick. My pleasure.
I hope you've enjoyed this week's podcast. Thanks for checking out Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle. You can find me on Twitter at Mr. Mick Coyle. You can also find me, Mick Coyle, on Facebook as well. Don't forget, if you want to speak to somebody about your mental health, you can do so. The Samaritans, free to call on 116 123. You can find mental health services where you are. Just look for the Hub of Hope. Type in your postcode. It'll find those mental health services close to you. And for support in a crisis, you can text SHOUT to 85258. That's if you're experiencing a personal crisis, you're unable to cope and need support. Shout to 85258. That's a text line. Do get involved in those services. In an absolute emergency, always remember the number to call is 999. Thanks for downloading the podcast this week. We'll be back next week with more Mental Health Monday.